We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us right now, guys heading out to Yankee Stadium real soon because there will be a Yankee game tonight, and the Yankees will win. I guarantee you that. And the Yankees
at least
will
they won't
too.
Lose. It might be a tie.
That's right. Sweeney Murdy. Sweeney, how are you, sir?
Good, Ev. How are you?
First off, I know Aaron Boone was just talking. Anything earth-shattering coming from the manager?
I mean, he's looking forward to this game tonight just to get some guys some live reps. We're going to see Jay Happ and Clark Schmidt, maybe two innings apiece from both of them. It's not going to be traditional, you know, nine. I mean, you're going to get some infielders getting four innings, outfielders getting three innings. Guys might not run the bases on some, you know, or if they're run, it might not run all out. They're just trying to get them. This is their first game action in quite some time. So get them acclimated a little bit, get some live reps and kind of build this thing up. You have the ability to play with this. They might have a couple of DHs in the lineup for today and kind of play around with lineups just to get guys at bats. If you're looking for the update on Tanaka, he is still technically in concussion protocol, which just means, you know, that they observe everything he's going through. He spent 15 to 20 minutes riding a bike today, got his heart rate up, and was, you know, did not suffer any symptoms. So they continue to believe all signs are encouraging. However, you know, I think it's important to caution that, you know, it's a step-by-step process. And because they're, you know, you've seen this with concussions a lot. Just because there aren't any symptoms now doesn't mean there aren't going to be as the activity ramps up. And it's a long road to going from, okay, he's okay right now to he's good to go. And I think that's going to be kind of a daily thing for a little while.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen how dangerous concussions could be recently with Clint Frazier. Before that, the Mets had it with Ryan Church. What is, because we're dealing with a head injury. We're dealing with the brain, which is the scariest thing in the world. What is the process like before the Yankees feel comfortable? Okay, he's out of concussion protocol. What does it take to kind of remove yourself from that?
I don't know all the medical procedures part of it, Evan, but I, you know, it feels like it's okay. They, what they tend to do is they ramp up to certain levels of activity, and test him out and see if he's suffering any symptoms. And you know, for Clint Frazier, that was a lot of off and on, and it would subside for a while, and then all of a sudden it would pop up at different times, and you have to test them. I guess it's not that big a deal this year with, you know, without crowds, but decibel levels are part of it too, and that was something that Clint Frazier had to get used to or get himself back into shape with. So I think that there are just a number of different steps in the physical process, and you just get checked all the time to make sure that, you know, that everything is still going smooth on in the brain. And you're right, it's scary, and I don't think there's just a real easy roadmap for us to know. It's just, okay, this is what he's doing today, and let's see if it bothers him.
Now, I'm not asking this as the ultimate second guess. I'm genuinely, I guess, curious about this. Why no L screen when Tanaka was throwing?
Listen, there are plenty of pitchers who don't. I think it was generally, so in regular batting practices, generally it's up to the pitcher to, and some of them just don't feel comfortable with it. Right. Sometimes it's a matter of their delivery too. Sometimes, it's different for guys who come straight over the top, three quarters, just the way their arm falls. They don't always feel comfortable with the follow through, and they have the option to use it or don't use it. Now, Jordan Montgomery yesterday said, yeah, I decided to use it after I saw what happened, which is easy. You know, I think it's really a lot of this is reaction to the first time we've seen baseball players do anything baseball related on the field in months, and this happened 3 minutes in. There's a major coincidence there. It's up to the pitcher in a lot of these times. When you get through sim game situations, a lot of it is, you know, fielding the position too. That's a small consideration. You can obviously work on that without and have the screen in front of you and work on that separately. But it's not a given that these guys use the screen all the time.
We're talking to Sweeney about the Yankees. You know, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, right now with the Mets and the Yankees, it does feel like we're in a different world than everybody else because so far things seem smooth with the Mets and the Yankees. We have had positive tests, obviously, DJ LeMahieu, Luis Sessa, but they've gotten the test back. Practices are going on. The Yankees are having a split squad game tonight, which, you know, I'm excited about. I think like baseball fans are excited about. Yeah. And then on the other side, we hear about the Astros and we hear about the A's and we hear about the Nationals. But on the Yankee side, is everybody kind of pleased with how this process has gone so far in the first few days?
Well, yeah, I guess it's been as smooth as you could expect. I think the from the health and safety part of it, I think they're okay with, you know, I've heard every player say, at least on the Yankees, that they're comfortable with the lengths that the Yankees are going to and everybody's going to make this safe. Now, that doesn't mean it is. Even, you know, Aaron Boone was asked today because other teams are having issues with the testing procedures, and you're coming here into this, and Boone said that they're comfortable with the protocols in place, but nothing is perfect. They're giving us the best chance to be safe. He said, nothing is perfect. We're at risk every single day. And even if you get back a test result, you know, that test result was from yesterday, the day before. That right. doesn't account for today. So that's why you have to continuously go through this. You're right. This has gone fairly smooth. I mean, listen, Tanaka got nailed in the head. That was a baseball issue, not a COVID issue.
Right.
But from that standpoint, everything's gone smoothly, but it doesn't mean it's going to continue to be. And I just think this is a constant thing as things happen around the league to other people, other players. I'm convinced personally that you will see more players opt out along the way.
Yeah.
You know, not and maybe even during the season. And think about this. Let's say you get this thing started, okay? Let's say you get through whatever part of the season you want, and let's say we're here on September 10th, okay? And there's 2.5 weeks to go in the season, and you've got somebody who's, you know, 12 games out. You know, some of those players are going to say, this isn't worth the risk to me anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that this is something we're seeing players opt out now, and I have a feeling this is something that's going to happen all throughout this if we get far enough.
Yeah, it's a really good point. We were talking about that with the bubble, where guys in the NBA bubble, you know, were down 3-0. Or they're going to say, get me the heck out of here. What am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And in baseball, it's even more extreme.
It's not even about where they are in the standings. It's about where you are in the standings and what's happening
right.
with the health issue. Are the percentages skyrocketing? Are the percentages going up? Have two of your teammates tested positive and you're fearful for what's going to happen to you if you stay there in the next 10 days, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. These are all things that are unanswerable right now, but I guarantee you they're conversations that, you know, you're going to have at some point.
Well, yeah, and it's also real when, you know, Freddie Freeman is sick. You know, Freddie Freeman
right.
is dealing with this, and that Nick Markakis' reasoning or one of his reasons for opting out was talking to Freddie and hearing
yeah.
what he's going through, and that certainly contributed to his decision.
Yeah, and listen, you've got players who, you know, Garrett Cole just had a baby.
Right.
You know, his wife just had a baby. Mike Trout is playing, but he's expressed his concerns, and I think, you know, that's, you know, when the biggest player in the sport is talking to you about concerns about going forward, I think it's open to everybody to have that debate, and you can't fault them for it if they come to that decision on July 6th, August 6th, or September 6th.
We're talking to Sweeney with the baseball stuff. One thing I've been, as a baseball fan, pleasantly surprised about, and we heard this with Garrett Cole, we just heard it with Jacob deGrom, is how ready these guys seem to think they can be for opening day. I mean, Jake said the other day, or today, in his Zoom meetings, I think by opening day, I can be ready to throw 100 pitches. Garrett Cole was not that far off from that. Is that consistent for everybody? You know, we're going to see Jay Happ today. You mentioned in this split squad game. Obviously, Tanaka may, you know, be pushed back a while. Guy like James Paxton, is everybody kind of on that same route of being, you know, pretty close to being normal time opening day status as far as amount of pitches they may be able to throw in their first start?
No, everybody's going to come in differently. They're, you know, Matt Blake, the pitching coach, has talked about evaluating what they know everybody did and what they're seeing with their eyes now as they build them up. You know, Garrett Cole went every 5 days, but you know, Buck Showalter was on our station this weekend. You know, he threw some cold water on, you know, not necessarily specifically Cole or anybody else, but just in general, when you're talking about pitchers who are, you know, throwing in their backyard to throwing in a live game against real hitters and things like that. And it is a different type of situation to say, you know, you can throw 60 pitches here, but then in the game situation, it's a lot different. I think, you know, Garrett Cole has every expectation that he can pitch in the 5 to 6 inning range when you get to July 23rd. I don't think everybody is in that, because remember, you're also talking about a guy who threw as many innings as he did last year, right? And is built up to that in a normal situation. You know, Paxton's been coming off the back surgery and the issues there, so his buildup is slow. We don't know with Tanaka when he is going to be back out on a mound and accumulating pitches. I think a lot of that, you know, even like a guy like Jordan Montgomery is it can be a big factor here. Coming off of Tommy John, obviously the beginning part of the season was going to be a non-factor for him, but all of a sudden, you know, he's a real factor here. But again, coming off the injury and rehabbing, how far can you push him here? And all, you know, the layoff was not equal to everybody. Even if they took the time to throw every 5 days, it's under different conditions than you would normally right. be doing.
Now, you mentioned, I think you mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay Happ and Clark Schmidt are the two
yes.
starting pitchers tonight.
Yeah. They are, he said, Boone said that Happ is probably 2 innings, so Schmidt might be 2. And there's a host of others that are scheduled to pitch. Zach Britton, Adam Ottavino, Tommy Kahnle are some of the guys that we know. We're going to get a list here shortly and some lineups here shortly, and I'll see if I can forward those along to you before, you know, on my way to the stadium.
All right, so I'm intrigued by Clark Schmidt because he's one of the, you know, top pitching prospects, obviously, but he has never pitched above AA. I think last year when I was looking in mm-hmm. spring training, he only made 3 or 4 starts in AA.
Right.
Is he low on the totem pole as far as a guy that can actually get the call and pitch this year? You figure you're going to have to use a lot of pitchers. But where is a guy like Clark Schmidt? Can you see him contributing at some point during this abbreviated 2020?
Yeah, I think when the spring began and I looked at Clark Schmidt, Davey Garcia, despite their lack of experience at the higher levels, I looked at those guys and said, okay, they're here in big league spring training camp. They are, you know, obviously high on the prospect list and high in the organization's minds. It's easy to see them contributing at some point this year because you know how many injuries it. Well, the situation of the season obviously changed, but I don't think the fact that at some point this season they could pitch, I don't think that changes. What does change is that their part on the development curve has been drastically altered. You know, that thought in my mind that they could pitch this year is with the idea that they were going to get maybe 15 starts in AAA or something like that built in and continue to develop and refine their pitches. And, you know, right now, I think it's going to end up being survival of the fittest. I think there are injury concerns for everybody, and I think there are teams that are going to greatly suffer from it because some of these injuries are going to keep players out for half the season or longer when otherwise it would be a month, you know? So you're going to have to dig deep. And when you talk about how much you like the depth, that's one thing. But, you know, and again, I'll go back to, you know, even Buck Showalter said it over the weekend. He says, you know, there's a fear that you're going to end up with double A and triple A players in the World Series. It's entirely possible given, you know, what kind of attrition rate we've seen with injuries in the past, but right. just the recovery period, you can't speed that up.
Yeah. It's weird. When we were sitting there in the middle of March, the Yankees outfield, you know, was hit with a lot of injuries. Judge wasn't going to be ready for the start of the year, it didn't look mm-hmm. like. Giancarlo, Aaron Hicks is coming off an injury. And so I looked at Miguel Andujar, especially with the way he played left field and played first base and yep. the year Urshela had is, boy, Andujar is going to play left field. He's going to play a lot of the outfield. Is that still on the table or is that more out the window now? Because when you look at the outfield in this moment, and obviously guys can get hurt, mm-hmm. they got a lot of depth now. And maybe the infield will be tested a little bit, especially with DJ LeMahieu, who's obviously battling the virus right now. Where is Miguel Andujar's future, at least in the short term of 2020? Is he back to mostly third base?
I think outfield is absolutely in play, and he's been taking some reps there. And the reason why is that, you know, they're not going to push these guys through to play every day in the early going. You know, there's a difference between injuries and conditioning. As a, you know, like Judge and Stanton might not be dealing with the injuries. Although I did find it interesting, you know, when you had Aaron Boone on a few days ago last week, I mean, you asked him specifically if Judge was healthy, and he talked to you about how well Judge was doing, but he never said he wasn't fully recovered.
Right,
you know,
right.
He never said he was fully recovered.
Right.
So he was careful, I think, in choosing his words. But it leads, you know, that and everything they're saying is, you know, they're not going to play guys every single day. Even in a 60-game season, they can't sit there and say, well, you're only playing 60, not 130, 140. You can play all 60. It doesn't work that way. So I think you're going to find a rotation for Andujar that's going to help find him in some of these corner outfield spots. The interesting thing to me, though, was that early in spring training, it was evident to me and to some of the guys from around the league, the scouts from around the league who were watching the Yankees early on, that Andujar, his bat was there. It was ready. He had not lost anything. And his bat speed was there. I remember talking to you guys back in February and saying, listen, the Yankees have a lot of depth. They have Urshela. They have all these outfielders. It's not, you know, if he starts out slow in the spring, it wouldn't be out of the question that Andujar could start the year at AAA because, you know, he needed time to just get his legs back under him after having not played any baseball for a year. It was a long time off. It was pretty evident early in the spring that he was raking. And if his bat was doing that in exhibition games and in batting practice, they were going to find a spot for him in the big league roster right out of the gate. It's hard to tell where he or anybody else is right now, but I would think that given what they know about him and just more time to, you know, kind of recover here, I would think that outfield is definitely part of the equation here just to help that rotation and get everybody as many at-bats as possible.
Any word on, and I assume it would only be against the Mets because of travel, but any word on some exhibition games besides the inter-squad games they're going to have?
You know, they're going to announce the regular season schedule tonight.
Yep.
6 o'clock and then on MLB Network, and then the releases from every team will come out around 7 o'clock and we'll see them. I think that a lot of it's dependent on where they're starting, because I think it's possible to have the, you know, if you're starting on the road, you know, you can play an exhibition game against that team before you start. It is absolutely a possibility. I think they're just waiting to get through a couple of more things and maybe the full regular season schedule. I would assume you're going to see, they've talked about it enough that I would think you're going to see at least one or two Yankees Mets games before they have to get out. You can play up to 3 exhibition games.
Right.
So if the Yankees are starting in D.C., as that was originally reported, well, I would think maybe the Yankees and Nats would play an exhibition before that, and then maybe the Yankees and Mets can play, you know, a game or two before that. But I think those are questions we'll hopefully have answered by tonight or tomorrow.
I am curious about this, and I think a lot of people listening are, because we're living in such a different world. For you, you're going to Yankee Stadium tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that like? How do you get in? You know, what are the rules? What is that experience like right now?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a little different experience already because I would already be at the ballpark. If it's a 7 o'clock game, I would have been at the ballpark, you know, 2 hours ago. I stayed home to catch up, make sure I was on the Zoom press conferences with Boone and not in transit or anywhere else and didn't need to sit in an empty ballpark with nothing else going on, with no access to anybody for the hours leading up to the game. So I was staying here to do that, staying here to talk to you, and then I'm headed out the door to go to the stadium. So obviously getting there a little bit later differently. The process is different. Getting in is different for all of us. You know, there are temperature scans on the way in. I will just tell you, there was some malfunctions on day one, and, you know, it was just logistical issues of getting it up and running and getting it to work properly. And this is all new to everybody. And between that, just getting to work, between all the testing issues that we're hearing about over the course of the last 24 hours, the teams have had issues. You know, there are a lot of people saying, you know, what's happening here? Why isn't this working? Why isn't that working? Well, I think you got to understand that nobody has done this yet. This is the first time they're trying this. And the important thing is not necessarily why isn't it working now, but how quickly can they resolve it?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, there were going to be problems. We all knew that. But how quickly can you get this thing back in the right direction and not let it, you know, snowball on you, not let it become something that that you can't deal with? That's the important thing here. I don't fault anyone for all these issues that have popped up. I mean, it's just a brand new part of it. I think another big part of this, Evan, is you have to remember this probably, I don't know for a fact, but this probably could have been different if the two sides had reached an agreement in May as to what they were going to do come July 4th.
Yeah.
You would have had more time to work out issues like this and set everything up. If you knew that, because remember, they were never going to start any earlier than July 4th. So if you had taken some of that time, and let's say even at the end of April, if you had figured, okay, when the season starts, here's what's going to happen. You had a month and a half before players were going to report, and you were going to be able to get everything lined up and maybe even do some dry runs and stuff.
But I would have hoped that even during the contentious negotiations, this was still kind of something that needed to be figured out and talked about.
Yeah. You're right, and I'm sure it was, but it just became one of a number of other issues as opposed to, okay, listen, we know what we're doing. Let's see how this is going to work. I don't know that for a fact. Just my my theory on how it could have worked if they had reached an agreement earlier. But to me, the big thing right now is to see how quickly everybody responds to this, because you knew there were going to be problems. If you thought this whole process was going to be smooth, I want to know, you know, how you had enough confidence to know that, because this is all unprecedented.
Sweeney, enjoy it tonight. We'll be listening. I know you'll be checking in with JJ throughout the night as the Yankees play, so we'll be listening. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Evan.
Sweeney on the Yankees heading out to the stadium tonight. The Yankees are playing tonight. They're playing a baseball game tonight. Those words do sound pretty cool, you have to admit, even if it's an inter-squad game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.